if you have your copy of God's Word tonight, I want to read a verse of Scripture in the book of Romans. And I've been doing a series called Breaking Free. August 3rd, we're going to have a Breaking Free service. Now, you don't have to wait to August 3rd to get free, right? We're going to pray for people on August 3rd. We're going to pray for people with addictions. We're going to pray for people that need healing in their bodies. We're going to pray for some of the things in your life that have kind of kept you back, or some of the things in your life that maybe you feel like have just been hanging around too long. How many know that all of us have had things in our life we've just allowed to hang around too long, right? And we're just going to pray that God will bring deliverance. And some of you, there's people here, I've known people, you have addictions to nicotine, or you have addictions to whatever you have addictions to. It could be TV, whatever that is. We're going to pray on that Sunday that God will set you free. But I'm going to be preaching the next few weeks on breaking free. God positioning you for God's best. How many know God wants His best for us? How many know we need to be whole in order for God to give us His best? And so I'm going to be preaching the next few weeks on God positioning you for greatness and breaking free. I want to read a verse of Scripture in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 to kind of give this a foundation. I don't know where we're headed this, you know, today. I'm going to try to teach this, but you know how that goes. It could end up being whatever. But I want to try to get this in you, in your spirit today as we teach this. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." I mean, that's a great verse.
Yes,
the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, have you ever made a decision in your life that you didn't know why you did it? You ever done anything you really didn't know why you did it? You say to yourself, what in the world was I thinking when I did that? Either before you got saved or after you got saved. And you ever done something where you felt like there were forces or things that were driving you from the inside, and then later you regretted what you did, and you said to yourself, what is that? Why in the world did I do that? Am I the only one in here that's ever done that? And you make those decisions, and you find yourself, and you think, man, what are those? I mean, what is that? How did that happen? And you say to yourself, my goodness, how in the world did I ever end up in that place? And so, did you ever end up in a place where you never wanted to go, or do things you never wanted to do? And we all, I believe, have done that at times, where we made decisions where we weren't sure why in the world we done those things, or how we got there. Or you ever wake up one day and you go, how in the world did I get in this situation? And you find yourself deep into something, and then you look back and you say, my Lord, what in the world led me to go down this path to get here where I'm at right now? How in the world did I get there? And all of a sudden you look back and you think, my goodness, there must have been something that was driving me to do this, but I'm not sure what that was. I've been there. But God has intent and purpose for everyone that's in this room and in this building. And God wants the outcome to be His outcome, right? I mean, God has an intent for you tonight and a purpose for you tonight, just as He does me. And there are times that I've wrestled with God, and that I felt like I could map out my own destiny better than God could, right? Or that if I'd have mapped it out, I wouldn't have gone the way that God had sent me to go. You ever felt like that? You could tell God, you'd like to tell God how you got where you got. And you knew the better road than what God knew. Yep. Yeah, I've been there. Nobody else has wrestled with God but me. I'm telling you, I'm going to be awful lonely up here tonight. I guess I'm preaching to me tonight. Right? And so, and God is still convincing and showing me that He takes all things and He can turn those things, right? And we don't necessarily see that when we're in the midst of that. But a lot of times when we're in the midst of things, God can be turning things for us that we don't see Him turning. He can take the worst situations that we've got ourselves into, the worst circumstances that we've stepped into, even decisions that we made that we're not sure why we got there. Amen. And all of a sudden, God, even in the midst of that, even in those bad decisions, God can begin to turn that around for us, right? Amen. Aren't you thankful that God's on your side?
Yeah.
That He can turn those things around even in the midst of bad decisions that we make in our lives. Now, the thing about it is that God did not put a passing lane in the turn lane, right? And the reason is because you can't see what's around the corner. But when you know God's turning something around for you, even though you can't see around the corner, we know that God has His best for our life. And that God's best intentions is for us. And so when God is turning us and God is moving in our life, we have to believe that God is, whether bad or good, that He's working on our behalf, that so that we in our lives can reach the intended purpose that God has for our life. And for you and I, that gives us hope tonight. There's great peace in knowing that. Knowing that there's times I can mess up and God can help me get through it even though I've messed up.
Yes.
That's great hope for you tonight.
Amen.
Amen. We got five people that is excited for the fact that God can help them turn things around in their life. Hallelujah. But really, what I'm talking about is that what God really wants is this. God wants His kingdom to come in our life. He really wants His kingdom in the earth. But before God can touch the earth, He needs to touch us first, right?
Yes.
And then the kingdom can touch the earth.
That's right.
And so God wants to bring His kingdom to the earth, but He wants to do it through us. And but there are times when there are too many things that we are holding back. That there are things in our lives that we hold back from God. We're not willing to give up or to let go of in our life. We're not ready to kind of give that area of our life up because we've been so used to feeding that thing, so used to the familiarity of that thing. We're not really quite ready to give that thing up for God yet. We're not really ready to allow God to have full control of our life. But we'll give Him part control, but we're not really ready for Him to have full control of our life.
Yeah, preach it.
But when we talk about the kingdom, Romans says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. In other words, the kingdom of God, what Jesus came to bring. When I read this, it's like this. I don't want to be harsh tonight, but if you don't have these individually, I don't know what you have. But what you have, if you don't have righteousness, peace, and joy, whatever you have tonight is not the kingdom.
Amen.
Because the Bible says the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And so, you say, well, I'm starting off real raw tonight, ain't I? Just coming right out with it. I'm coming after you tonight.
Come on, Pastor.
We need it.
You can be financially loaded. You can have favor. You can be a person that makes decisions to make thousands of people move. But if you don't have these three ingredients in your life,
right,
you don't have the kingdom of God
that's
working
right
in your life.
Right.
Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Jesus came so that we could make things right with God. Is that not right?
That's right.
Jesus said this, I came and I give you peace. I leave my peace with you. He said that joy is the very strength we have to live by, right?
Amen.
I mean, that's good news.
Amen.
Jesus came that we could be right with God.
Yep.
He came to leave His peace with us on this earth so that we can have peace in the midst of difficulty.
Amen.
And it says His joy is our strength tonight. That's where we find our strength, is in the joy of the Lord tonight. Some of you need the joy of the Lord tonight. I can just tell. You need a good dose of the joy of the Holy Ghost tonight. How many know that's not going to hurt you?
No, it won't.
It's a good thing. But I tell you what I see. I see people in Christianity and chasing everything in Christianity but these things. And many of them that they're chasing in the name of the kingdom. But the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things shall be added unto you. Right? And so, if we first seek the kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost will be given to us, right? Stuff won't be a problem. Things won't be a problem. Resources won't ever be a problem. Relationships will never be a problem. Because if I have these three ingredients in my life, then I know that these three things are the dynamics of the kingdom for successful living in my life.
Yes.
So if I have these things, I don't have to worry about stuff. I don't have to worry about what I don't have or what I need. Because if I have these three things, God can bless and bring to my life everything that I need.
Amen.
But here's what happens in Christianity. We start chasing successful living instead of seeking the kingdom.
Come on.
I ain't getting no help in here tonight.
Amen.
Y'all asleep. Now I'm going to preach until this thing gets soaked into you, until you get waterlogged tonight. Listen, we seek successful living. We seek favor, opportunity, influence, increase. We want the blessings of God. We want the promises of God. We seek all of those things. We search out all of those things. And all of those things are a part of the kingdom. But if I start preaching that before I preach this, right?
Amen.
Then it's like trying to go out and get the things and work them into the peace of God.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
In other words, if I seek successful living before I have righteousness, before I have peace, and before I have joy, then all I'm doing is taking the things that I accumulate and try to work them into righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And it doesn't work that way. I got somebody helping me preach tonight.
Yeah.
Church people are chasing a lot of stuff, but they're miserable, they're anxious, they're fearful. They're hanging by an emotional thread. And so where is the peace? I just want to know, where are the happy people? Right? Where are the happy people? Praise God. I got one back there that's happy. But what we do in Christianity is we want all the blessing. We want to chase all that down. But we want to forget the kingdom, because the kingdom's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. How many know you can be rich and not have joy? How many know you can have favor on a job and not have peace? How many know that you can claim to be a Christian but not be righteous?
Right?
And what we do is we accumulate and we say thanks to God, but then we take what we accumulate and try to fit it into what God gives us, and it doesn't work. And so we become miserable, we become frustrated, discouraged, and so we never have any peace at all.
Amen.
And so I wonder, what is God doing when He talks to us about the kingdom? And so we're talking about God breaking us free. We're talking about being free. Breaking free. You know, I think of a lot of times, you know, our society has turned to a real negative turn in society. You can't go through your day without hearing a lot of negativity, either where you work or where you shop, where you pay your bills, people you hang around, even in your own family. Go figure that out. Even in that crazy family you got, nobody's positive, right?
Yep.
And so people are not necessarily happy overall, right? And so they're always complaining about what they don't have. But I believe God's looking for some people that will just be happy just because. One, God woke you up this morning, right?
Yeah.
You're alive. God brought you into this church tonight.
Yeah.
That's something to be happy about. God has, if you could understand what it took for God to even get you here tonight. You could see in the heavenlies what it took to get you here tonight. You could see what it took for God to get you to the age that you're at tonight. Right?
Yes.
I've got some older saints saying amen. Thank God. All the things that God worked out so that grace... Listen, there's grace that's swirling all around your life tonight.
Right. Yeah.
And we as believers have really nothing to be complaining about because God's been good to you.
Yeah.
He has blessed us. Can you imagine what God has done in order for you to be here tonight? The assignments that the angels that have been dispatched to protect your life and the cancellation of assignments by the enemy to destroy you and to keep you from having the blessing of God in your life. We have no idea of what it is and what it took to get us here in this building tonight and to get us to the place where God wants to bless us tonight. Where are the people that's going to say it doesn't matter about the Lexuses or the Mercedes or the four-car garages that we got, or it doesn't matter what all these kind of blessings that we get that we want to put in front. Thank God tonight for the blood of Jesus that has washed us and cleansed us. Tonight, and able to sit in church. Thank God that your family is intact tonight. Thank God you're not laying in some hospital bed tonight. That you can pray and worship in your nation and not have to worry about being shot somewhere tonight because you're worshiping God somewhere. Right?
Yeah.
Thank God you had something to eat last night. Thank God we got a Bible, praise God, that we can worship from. Right? Thank God for those things. And I know that they seem simple, but they seem to be at times so far out of our reach. And God says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to show you a couple of things. And Jesus made it clear that the kingdom begins in you. John the Baptist, who was a forerunner, he said this. He said, before Jesus came on the scene, this is what his message was. He said, repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And before the kingdom can come, there was a message that said, that had to go forth, right? What was the message? John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, the message was not apologize. The message was not come tell God you're sorry. The message was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You're going to have, in other words, John the Baptist was saying, look, he came to a religious group of people. He said, you're going to have an opportunity. You and I have the opportunity that only angels dared to think about and that only the prophets in the Old Testament prophesied about. But you and I are going to have the opportunity, or have the opportunity, to experience what they only dreamed about.
Yeah.
Or what they only prophesied about.
Thank you, Lord.
And it says to qualify and to get in position, it just requires us to repent. Simple word, right? Means to repent. Repent. Now, repent is not apologizing. Apologizing is saying, I'm sorry for what I did. Now you can, now listen to this. You can apologize to God with no intention to go out and change your behavior. Right? I've seen people come in and apologize to God. But just because you apologize to God, that doesn't mean you have any intention of leaving out of here and changing your life's behavior. Right? In other words, he didn't say apologize. You can come down and say you're sorry and all these things and you can talk about the consequences that has broke out in your life because of the things that are going on in your life. You can cry and ask God for forgiveness and what? And He will, right? I mean, oh, God forgives.
Yes.
And so, but it says this, it says, but to enter the kingdom, you have to repent. Now, repent means change of mind. A change of mind. Now, the word pent there, actually the root word, means to return to the top. I mean, that's a good word.
Yes.
It means the change of mind, the return to the heart. In other words, if you want to return to where Adam was initially, in other words, right standing with God, repentance is a change of mind moving back to the top, which means a change of direction. So that's what repentance is. And I'm going all the way back today. I'm going all the way back to when you was in Sunday school and you were a little girl, right? Or a little guy. Because I think sometimes we need to lay some of these foundations. Because when you say repent, a lot of people in our generation have no idea what repent means. But repent means this. It means a change of mind and return to the top. In other words, you're changing your direction. Amen. How many know that's different than apologizing?
Right. Yes.
So repentance is a change of mind. And so you can't get the kingdom and have your old mindset. Right?
Right.
You can't get the kingdom of God in your life and continue to have the old mindset in your life. Now John the Baptist, what he is saying to these religious people, and what he is saying to these and those who are in a religious system, in other words, you're not going to be able to mash the kingdom, and you're not going to be able to take your religious system and then take the kingdom of God and put it into your religious system. That's what he's saying. He's saying you're going to have a change of mind. You're going to have a change of direction. That's what repentance is. That's what the kingdom is. That's what Jesus came to preach, was repentance. He came so that he could change our mind, change our direction in our life. How many are thankful Jesus changed the direction of your life in one moment, and your mind has been changed and different? Now, everybody in this room has a filter. Right? You got a heathen filter. You got a Baptist filter. You got a strict filter. Some of you have a lenient filter. Some of you have a Presbyterian filter. Some of you have a Pentecostal Methodist filter. Some of you have a charismatic filter, Baptist filter. Some of you have no filter. Right? And basically, what we try to do is we try to take something we've learned of the Word of God and we try to slam it through our filter that's already in place. See, this is where people become frustrated in their life. This is how we break free. Because what we do is we take all the experiences of our life, where we grew up, who influenced us, all the thinking, our mindsets, all the things we've accumulated, all the experiences we've had, and it's a filter. We put this filter there, and then we hear the gospel, and then what we do is we try to take the gospel and fit it into our life without having to change our life.
Yeah.
Right? And what happens is people become frustrated because they don't know why Christianity is not working out for them. Why God is not on their side. Why are they still frustrated? Why are they still battling the same old battles, Mark? Why are they still going through the same old things they're going through? Why they don't understand certain things? Because you're trying to take what's carnal, what you grew up with, and you're taking the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Ghost and trying to put through the filter of your life and trying to make it work. When Jesus said the kingdom of God begins with repentance, and through repentance comes the kingdom, which is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The kingdom is a filter. And so, what God is saying through John the Baptist is that you're going to have to remove those things which you've learned up to this point and exchange that or replace it with a kingdom mindset. That way, everything God says goes through a kingdom filter. Instead of trying to see God through what you've experienced or see God through what's happened to you or what's surrounding you or what you've been taught or how you've been taught. In other words, if you have a kingdom mindset, when God speaks, you flush it through that kingdom filter.
Amen.
Instead of through your own filter, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why when you got saved, it says old things have passed away and all things have become new in your life.
Yes.
Now the kingdom is the filter by which you put everything through.
Amen.
But here's what here's what happens in people's lives. It's like the story of Ruth. I was reading the book of Ruth this week. And you all know Orpha and Naomi and Ruth. And in reading that this week, I got to realize that those three ladies represented three different types of church people. There's Orpha, who never who never received her inheritance. And the reason why is that she could not let go of the things that were old and the things that were keeping her back from experiencing God. She had to hang on to the old God she had and the old mindset she had, so she never was able to walk into a place of where there was experienced true inheritance in God. There's a lot of people that are walking out around as Christians who never get to experience the kingdom of God on this earth. They never get to experience joy. They never get to experience peace. And the reason why is because they keep going back to the old mindsets they have in their life, and they're unwilling to let God change them,
yeah,
change their mind, change their direction.
That's right.
So that when the kingdom of God speaks, they can receive whatever blessing and inheritance God has for them.
Amen.
And then you have Naomi, who, you know, she inherited it on part. But Ruth was willing to go all the way. She was willing to leave it all. She was willing to lay it all down, let it all go. Why? So that she could reach and hold on. She wasn't holding on to anything because she wanted her Boaz.
Amen.
And so, the kingdom of God. Jesus said this in John 3. He told Nicodemus, he said what? He said, you have to be born again. And then he says in John 10, not only you have to be born again, but Jesus said this. He said, but I am the door.
That's right.
In John 10, Jesus talks about being the shepherd of the church. He is the door in which every man... How many know there's no other way to God tonight but through Christ Jesus?
Yeah.
How many know there's no other way?
No other way.
I hate to stir up all you Buddhist folks and all you pocket rockers and all those images you got hanging in your windows and all them incense that you're burning in your fireplace and all them crystals you got hanging on your car, right? All that superstitious stuff you got hanging over your door and all the tarot cards you bought and all the horoscopes that you read and all those things. How many know there's only one way to Christ, to God, and that's through Christ? One way. Jesus said, I'm the door. There's only one way in, and that's through Jesus. Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. And Jesus said, I am the door. Now herein lies the American church. Now, the American church will bring you to the door. How many know that's not a good, that's not a bad thing, right? Preach Jesus. Come to Jesus. We all preach and come to Jesus. But let me ask you something, folks. If I ever come to your house, please don't just leave me at the door. Right? Huh?
Amen.
Come on.
Let me come in out of the rain. Let me come in out of the sun and the raging storm. Let me come in out of someone who might be chasing me. Right? If I show up at your house, it's probably because somebody is chasing me. Let me just not stand at the door, right?
Right.
Invite me in so that I can experience some of the blessings that makes your home a wonderful place, right?
Yes, right.
Well, here's what we do as the church. We bring people to the door.
Amen.
Right?
Mm.
Come on, Pastor.
But we never bring them into a deeper experience with God. And they never get to enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of God, or never get to enjoy the blessings of God in their life, because we're always leaving people at the door and we never bring people into a deeper experience with God.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
Right.
Not here.
That's what we do. In other words, people have a shallow experience with God. And let me tell you this, I believe the church has given up in a lot of areas of this.
Come on.
We don't want to mess with allowing people to have a deeper life experience in God.
Come on.
Amen.
We just leave them at the door. As long as they got saved, that's all we're worried about, Mark.
That's right.
But how many know God's got much more for us than just walking in the door?
Yes.
How many know there's a kingdom and an inheritance and possession that He has for the church?
Right.
And great churches know how to go after those things.
Yeah.
Pull those things in. And allow them to be a blessing to the community and a blessing to the people that serve there, and let the kingdom of God move in and out of the church. That's how people get broken free.
Yeah.
You just don't leave them at the door.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
Aha.
Yes.
When I was a young boy, My grandmother, when she had me at the house, in between my switches and whippings, we went to church.
Amen.
And we went Sunday morning to Sunday school. We went Sunday morning church. And if something was going on between Sunday night church, a meeting, we were there for that. Then we'd go to Sunday night service, right?
Amen.
And then there was midweek Bible study.
Right.
We were there. There was Tuesday night prayer meeting.
Amen.
Come on now, y'all help me. Y'all remember how this was? I mean, we went to it all. And then there would be, every 3 months, there'd be a revival, a quarterly revival that would last a whole week. And then they had Fifth Sunday singings, right?
Yes.
And then they had all day church singings on the grounds. And so we was in church all the time. And so even when I got saved. And so there's no way that you can stay in that kind of environment all the time and be in that environment and think like the world. There's no way that you could. If you were there, you was always feeling the pull of righteousness.
Amen.
And holiness.
Right.
You were always feeling the pull of remaining in right standing with God.
Amen.
You would always feel that the pull of separation from the world. Why? Because God got most of your week.
That's right.
Right.
Amen.
Aha. Hang with me. But now, what's happened is that we cancel Sunday night services. Right? Midweek services like we're doing is almost a dinosaur in a lot of churches. Okay? Right?
Amen.
We don't have prayer meetings. There's not many revivals that go on. And usually what most churches are doing today, now listen, I'm not on the church yet. There's a deeper meaning to this. They've canceled Sunday night services. That we cancel the midweek service. We don't no longer have prayer meetings. And what happens is now most churches are going to hour services on Sunday. And so in that hour service, they probably hear the preaching of the word run maybe 13 to 15 minutes or 20 minutes every Sunday.
Amen.
Right?
Shame.
I'm setting y'all up. Right? And so, most preachers get to preach the word about 15 minutes a week to the people. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep. Shame.
Now, how in the world is the church going to be able to offset every billboard you read, every time you've turned the radio on, everything that you saw on your TV, your smartphone, your computer, your iPad?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And in 13 minutes, how in the world is the church going to be able to combat over 70 hours or 80 hours of you spending inside the world, and then people come into church and the world system is designed to put their tentacles in you and get a hold of you and lock you down so that you spend the rest of your life trying to unravel yourself.
Amen.
From everything that you've experienced in the world, and the church gets 15 minutes to disciple your life.
That's right.
Amen.
And we wonder why we are struggling and why people are not free.
Amen.
Because we bring them in the door, but we don't give them any other experience in God, and we just leave them there, Mark.
Amen.
And so they're walking a lifestyle that's full of addictions. They're walking lifestyles that's full of frustrations.
Right.
That's why divorce in the church is just as high as it is in the world.
Yeah.
That's why we have preachers that are homosexuals. That's why we have certain things allowed in the church. Because they got 13 minutes of the word a week. Most people don't read their Bible or pray like probably they should. And all of a sudden, the church is supposed to make it, listen, in like a 15-minute altar call, the church is supposed to help you unravel what's taking you 80 and 90 hours a week to get inside you. You spend more time with Oprah than you did when Jesus that week. Right? days of our lives as the world turns. Come on, somebody, help me.
Amen.
Yeah.
You get more out of the bachelorette than you got in church. Right?
We're in trouble.
I guess I'm not preaching to the right crowd. I just got the whole wrong crowd tonight. And so, we want the church to do in just a few minutes what takes us all week to pollute inside of us. And we give no one else any other type of experience. You know, it's funny, we hear all the political parties. You know, they want to overturn Obamacare. They want gun control, right? All these things that are happening. We got kids shooting people up in theaters and malls and high schools. Yeah. And you know, we've got all these things that are happening. And, you know, we got child abuse. Some of the sickest stuff I've ever heard of has recently happened. And in the course of time, I never thought that men would ever live this deprived in the hour we live in.
Amen.
But what we think is we think that if we get a Republican in the White House, that all of a sudden that's going to change things. Or we think that if we get the legislation to pass a law, that all of a sudden that's going to keep kids from going in and blowing a school up. Right?
Yeah. Keep dreaming.
See, something innate has to happen inside of us.
Yeah.
What has to happen is that you've got to change the mindset of society. You've got to get down in them. You've got to have repentance and change in somebody's life where they live by righteousness, peace, and joy. Amen. In the Holy Ghost. That's what changed people's lives.
Amen.
You can't legislate morality. No. Right? You think just because you vote something in that that's going to change society? Let me tell you what we need. We need good, old-fashioned, Holy Ghost move of God.
Amen.
In the midst of America. It changed people's mindsets. People need to be brought free. They need to be set free in their lives.
Amen.
But most churches don't have the power to do that. We don't pray enough. We don't have the anointing on our lives to do those kind of things. So we just bring people to the door.
Come on, Pastor.
And so, we leave people at the door. And so when the church, see, here's kind of how we are. If I get up and I start talking, this is what I mean. We try to take the promises of God and try to stuff them into our lifestyle. And try to make it work. And put God in there. And try to make God fit in with everything else in life that we're trying to do. And then want God to bless us.
That's right.
Want God to bless us. And so, when you get up, and the reason why this doesn't work, because when you get up and you begin to talk about prosperity or the blessing of God,
amen.
See, when you begin up to talk about that, here's what most people are thinking. The most people are thinking, when you say that, the first thing they think of in their mind is their favorite singer. You start talking about prosperity, they start thinking about P. Diddy. Or they start thinking about their favorite singer and what car they drive and what rims they got on their car and what kind of crib they live in. That's what they think prosperity is, Mark. They start thinking about what country singer and who they've been married to. And they think prosperity, and they think of all these things. They think of the best athlete that they know. They start thinking about all these. That's how they view prosperity. Listen, Jesus came to redeem us from a world system and a mindset. So that when He changes our lives, we don't necessarily, when I say prosperity, those who live in the kingdom know that it's not just about money, right?
Amen.
They know that prosperity is more than just money, more than just a car, more than just a house, more than just a boat, more than just a motor home. How many know this? Righteousness, peace, and joy.
Yeah, that's it right there. Yeah. Amen.
Let me tell you what prosperity is. My kids come home safe every night. I'm prosperous in
heaven. Amen.
Yeah. Prosperity is I'm healthy and happy. Prosperity is I've got a church to worship in. And I've got a place to worship God in. That's prosperity. But we try to take all that stuff and try to work it into God. And God says, no, no, no. That's not going to work in this life.
Amen.
Amen.
Woo, don't get me worked up. 5 more minutes and I'll be done. Right?
That's right.
We pass the offering break. We think prosperity. is having in mind what we see Babylon has offered. Right? That's what we think prosperity is. Blessing. But that's not the kingdom. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, you'll sell the farm for it. Right? You'll bet the ranch on it. There's a lot of people that are looking for those very things in their life. Now, I found something interesting in the Word I had never seen before. Has anybody ever done that? Am I the only one?
Oh, yeah.
That gets that out of the Word. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9, I love what this says. Now, I'm going to bring this home here. Are you ready? You ready to slide into home?
Yes.
Call it a night? Maybe.
Whenever you're ready. Yeah.
The Bible says that Jesus is the door, right?
Amen.
And that we can only enter through Him.
He's right.
And that everything begins with us, right? When we're born again, we seek the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy. Now look what Peter says in verse 8 and 9 of chapter 1. He says, whom having seen you love, through now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Now look at verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith and the salvation of your souls. Now, when I got saved and I came to Jesus and I accepted Christ in my life, what happened was, when I got born again, I was born of the Spirit, right?
Amen.
My spirit man came alive. How many know Jesus took care of that on the cross?
Right. Yep.
How many know that the work that He did is a finished work, right?
Amen. Right.
So when He changed my life, He changed me. It changed my spirit. So my spirit man is made alive. And so I'm born again. And so I had that experience in God. Now, Peter said this. He said that the end of your faith is the saving of your soul. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Now listen. We're made body, soul, spirit. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now when I got saved, my spirit was renewed right away. Oh! But my soul has some work to be done. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
Because what's in your soul? Your soul is the house of your impulses. It's where your desires are. It's where your passions are. It's where your emotions are. It's where your experiences. And it's even where your want to is. Now He saved my spirit. And it says that the saving, that the end of salvation is the saving of our soul. So that tells me this. That there's a sanctification process that God uses in our life.
Amen.
In order to bring redemption to our lives, right?
Amen.
So when I got saved, Mark, even though my spirit is made alive, my want-tos,
right?
Right? My desires have to be changed. My want-tos have to be changed.
Amen.
There's my mindsets I've got to change.
Yep.
And that's a process. And it's done through the Word of God. It's done through living Christian living. It's done through a Christian life and walking with God.
Amen.
In other words, there's a saving. And there's a finishing. The finishing of salvation is the saving of my soul. But my spirit was brought to the cross.
Amen.
But what has to be brought to the cross also is your soul.
Amen.
Your want to. Your spirit. Your desires. Your passions that you have. We have to also give those to God. Our emotions, those things that move, we have to take them to the foot of the cross. And when we bring those, they have to be brought to the place to where we bring them to the cross, and they die also.
That's right. Amen.
And what happens is, a lot of us, we become frustrated in life because what happens is that we don't take those things to the cross. And the end of our faith is not when I continue to have desires. But when my desires have died and He has resurrected inside of me all that He wants for me in my life.
Amen.
In other words, before I can understand the resurrection, I need to know the fellowship of His suffering. So that you can take what you want and let it die, so that He can resurrect in you who you really are.
Amen.
Now here's what has to happen. When you get saved, you've got to take all of those carnal passions that you have. You've got to take them to the cross. And through the process of sanctification, you've got to let them die at the foot of the cross also.
Amen.
So that God can resurrect in you His will for your life and resurrect His passion in your life.
Thank you, Lord.
So that those can be resurrected, so that the real you...
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the real you can be what God wants you to be.
Amen.
Right?
Thank you, Lord.
But here's what happens. We want to hang on to our own life.
That's right.
We want to hang on to our passions. We want to hang on to our own will. We want to hang on to our own desires. Now, we'll come into the door and we'll accept Jesus as Christ, but we won't allow Him to be the Lord of our life.
That's right. That's right.
And there's a difference between Him being somebody being saved and Christ having lordship over their life.
Yeah.
And the reason why we live frustrated most of the time is because He's not Lord of our life. We give Him a moment in our life. We give Him, we come to the door, but we never give Him the place in our life. And we spend most of our life wrestling with God over the fact of the things of our will. And we never get to the place to where God uses us. Because in us is the fallen mindset, the fallen nature that Adam gave us. And so, in order to walk with God, you have to discover, you have to give up, you have to lose your life in order that you might find life.
Amen.
I want to close with this.
Thank you, Lord.
Y'all know the story of Jonah, right?
Yep.
How many know the story of Jonah is about God's will versus Jonah's will? Huh? How many know that God gave Jonah an assignment? Jonah didn't want to do that assignment. He wanted to do his own thing. Jonah wanted to run from God. He got him a ticket. Isn't it funny how he got him a ticket to Tarshish, but he never made it to Tarshish?
Yeah.
Right? I'll tell you why. Let me tell you. And most Christians find them in this place most of their life. And this is the kind of thing we've got to break free in people's lives. They want to battle their will with God all their life. Their will, God's will, their will, always in a battle of what God wants them to do and what God's asked you to do and what God's wanting to do. There's this constant battle that's going on. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter how hard you fight, how hard you try to run from God, how hard you're willing to, unwilling to give up what you're wanting to give up and hang on to. Let me tell you, in the end, God's going to win.
Yeah. Amen.
Right? Amen. God's going to win in the end. And it may be over your lifestyle. It may be over certain areas of your life that you've not been willing to give to God. It may be over sanctification issues. It may be your mouth, right?
Amen.
It may be certain things that you're involved in that you shouldn't be doing, right? How many know God's going to win that battle?
That's right.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you how serious God is. God will sink a ship in order to get to you.
That's right.
He will throw you overboard,
yeah,
put you in the mouth of a fish, who will spit you up on the banks until you're willing to say, yes, God, I'm willing to give in this area of my life.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But here's what we do. We come to church and we say, Satan's doing that to me. Let me tell you, Satan didn't sink that boat.
Uh-uh.
Satan didn't throw him in the water. Satan didn't bring fish that swallowed him up. That was God.
Amen.
And it was a battle between His will and God's will. Amen. And this, for the information, for the sake of it, His will opposed God, so God's purpose became to oppose Him.
That's right.
Mm. Ha ha.
Yeah.
When your will opposes God's will, God will oppose you.
Mm.
You don't want to be on the other end of that.
No.
You'll spend all your life fighting God, wrestling with God, dealing with God, arguing with God, right?
Amen.
When all you have to say yes to God and give that area? How long do you want to spend in the wilderness? Right? How long do you want to walk in circles? You want to walk in circles till you're 90 years old? Right? How long do you want to stay in a cave until God changes your heart?
Amen.
How long do you want to live in the belly of a fish? You want to be 3 days? Or do you want to be 3 months? Or do you want to be 3 years?
Amen.
Yeah, how about me?
And so there has to be a surrender in our life.
Amen.
Sin just doesn't happen.
That's right.
Sin is the fruit, right? Of something that has been there for a long time.
That's
right? How many know fruit don't grow in a week?
Yeah.
So when sin shows up, it just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. It's something that has been there for a long time.
Amen.
And Jesus said the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Peter said the salvation, our salvation of our faith is the saving of our souls.
Amen.
Listen, what I'm praying through these series of breaking free is that God reaches down into the hidden areas of your life. To those areas that we don't talk about, to those areas that we don't say much about, into those areas that you keep hidden, or areas that maybe you're ashamed of, or areas that you've never given to God, or areas that you've never dealt with before. But they're under the surface. And you've never allowed the Holy Ghost to really deal with those areas of your life and got it in to where you can be really free in God and it looks good on the outside. But deep down, there's some things that God wants to put His finger on and touch in your life. And God has been working on you and working on you, but you keep fighting God and keep wrestling with God. I can tell you, folks, God is going to win that battle.
Amen. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because who the Son sets free,
yes,
right?
Free indeed.
He's free indeed.
That's right.
He just didn't save me, Mark.
That's right.
But He changed my mind and He changed my direction.
Thank you, Lord.
And that the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Father, we love You tonight, Lord. We thank You, God, that You just didn't save my spirit. But God, that You've reached down into the deep emotional parts of my life, into the depths of my soul and my will and my emotions. You went down into my passions, to my desires. You went down to the depths of my experiences and my want-tos. And God, You changed those things from my passions, my want-tos, in my experiences, You change them from mine to Yours. Father, we thank You tonight, God, that You're able to reach down into the dark places of our life and set us free.
Thank You.
To deal with those issues in our life that are underlying. Deal with those areas of our life that we've not yielded, in areas of anger, or areas of disappointment, or areas of you know, rejection.
Yes.
Areas of secret sin that we don't want anybody to know about.
Yes,
that we've hidden from everybody. But we never really feel we can be set free from. We've never really desired it. But God, You've battled with us and we've battled and battled and battled. But God, I believe Your Holy Spirit can break through.
Thank You.
Touch these areas of our life. Because we know in order to be a healthy church, we have to be free. In order to be a healthy church, we have to do more than just bring people to the door. We have to give them an experience that's greater than the experience that they have in the world.
Thank You.
We thank You, Father, for Your love and mercy in our life. Now, Father, if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't know You as their Savior, I pray, God, that You'll speak to their hearts.
Yes,
they will receive You as their Savior, knowing that there's no greater decision that can be made than to follow Christ. Now, Father, we just pray that Your Holy Spirit would be with us. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.